Just today's shir is sponsored Le'ilui Nishmat David Dov Ben Shmuel Zavel by his grandson Rabbi Yoel Rubinstein. Just a quick thing from yesterday. It is a Gemara in Megillah. Rava made the statement that if you have a bima, right, where you put the Sefer Torah to read from, if it's always covered all year, and it's never read without it, then the covering, the cloth covering, the mapa mitpachat, is the tashmish to kedusha, and the bima itself is definitely only a tashmish to tashmish, although it still has a din of a kedusha's bit knesset, so it's better than a tashmish to tashmish. And the main thing is, no one argues in the Gemara, no one argues in the Rishonim or Achronim. So it is what it is. But apparently, you go mostly the mitpachat you need for the cover of the Sefer Torah, no matter what. And even if you were to put it on the floor, the mitpachat you're using for the Sefer Torah, and that's what's touching it first. And then since you have a barrier, even though the bima is supporting it, it's still only a tashmish to tashmish. And could be one of the reasons why I'm having a hard time with it is because I once donated a bima, and I don't want to hear that it's only a tashmish to tashmish. So I'm going to make sure. I think I'm going to steal their mitpachat for a week. Okay. Let's go on to Yud Aleph. Neirot shel shava shenatanam kuti le'avodat elilim. So, if you have candles that were given, le'kavod the avodah zara, so now there's an iser involved to use it, but v'chiban, but the goy himself, right, not a Jew, a goy, just, we'll learn hilchos avodah zara later in your idea, but here, the goy is the one who extinguished it, shamash, v'chiban shamashan, right, the ones who are taking care of it, unetanam o mecharan leYisrael, and then they gave it or sold it to a Jew. So, is it mutter at this point to use? So, for a hedyot for ourselves at home, it's 100% permitted. There's nothing wrong with it. It became batel, so it's not takrovet. You didn't do avodah zara mamish with it. It was just done lenoy lekavod. So that's a problem. For at home, it's not a problem. You can use it. But for a Beit Knesset, asur ladlikam beveit Knesset, or for any mitzvah, because it's not bekavadik. It's a bizui, something that was used for a avodah zara. We're not going to use that for a mitzvah. It's not asur behana, but we're not going to use it for a mitzvah. Okay. Haga, afa pi shemutarim lehedyot. Right? We're allowed to use it for ourselves. There is a machloket about buying a church and now using it for a Beit Knesset. That's a question in and of itself if you're allowed to. It's definitely a much bigger problem if there were actually a avodah zara in there. If it was only rented out, so that's for sure not a problem. Anything that's rented out, that we learned, just like a Beit Knesset doesn't have a full long-term kedusha, so to a church, because it wasn't theirs. Okay, Mumar over kochavim, shenatan shava oner lebeit haKnesset. What happens if a Jewish mumar for avodah zara, so he wants to give money for the Beit Knesset, so for shava or ner, and also money. So in the Ramah, he writes, you're not allowed to use it. That's a sur. So, however, first of all, there's a separate sugya, of course, if who's considered mamish a mumar for this nowadays. So then, you have to qualify, not so easy. And just to point out, many of the poskim, they don't agree with this Rama. So Lamaisa, the minag is, we do allow them to donate to a shul, even if they would be a full, complete mumar. Okay.
And
there are many poskim argue on the Rama even in those days. Okay, you bet. Okay. And they compare, just like we're not allowed to bring a korban from a mumar, who's mechal Shabbos before Hesya, a mumar lahachis. But then again, that's usually not the case nowadays. It depends. Usually we're mekel. Okay. Even according to the Rama. Yud bet. In achbar shenimsa b'shemen shel beit ha-knesset. Now, let's say you have a bowl of oil, and you find a mouse in there. So imhu ma'us asur la'aliko b'beit ha-knesset. If you consider it disgusting, then you're not allowed to use it. Right? It's obvious. It's not bikavadik. And then the question is it? But it's there. Generally, we don't just. If it's considered ma'us, that's ma'us. Whether it's batel b'shishim or not, that makes no difference whatsoever, but it's based on being disgusting. That's how most hold. There are some where makel for 1 to 60, but probably those are not disgusted by it if it's 1 by 60. Okay? Yud Gimel. Ner shel beit ha-knesset mutar likrat le'oro. You're allowed to use the light in the shul to read. That's not a... Right, the light itself was donated and used in order for it to be used. You can even look at it, for your buttons of your shirt, your belt, whatever you need to see just to walk around. It's not even if it's not for the sake of learning. Yud Dalet. In okay, so tzarachian. But kriya shel chol might be a problem, but for any normal, for any appropriate purpose in a Beit Knesset, I don't think it's a problem. I think that's pashat. Yud Dalet, ein madlikin ner shel hedyot miner Beit Knesset. We don't light candle. A ner that was used from the Beit Knesset, we don't use it for ourselves. V'yesh mi shomer dahani mile ba'od shedolkin lemitzvatan. Aval kishetzarich lechabotan mutar. But once you extinguish it and it's no longer in use, then you're allowed to. Right? It's just like similar to Neros Hanukkah. The point is, even if you were a makdishit, you were only a makdishit for while it's being lit. And with the leftovers, you had in mind to use it, to take the leftovers home, to use it for what you like. Aga, miu, lo nagul is a herbakach. We're not careful these days to not use it. Umadlikin behen nershu let tzarech gadol. And we use it whenever there's a big need. V'efshar gam kein shedat beit din matne bekach. And also we should say, or could say, that's how it was donated. And even if it wasn't beferush, either it's automatic or it's through Beis Din. V'chen b'chol advarim shenagu l'hakel b'dvarim ke'elu v'hu mehay taima. And certainly with all these things, this is obviously even according to the Mishnah Berurah, anything that's the norm is certainly going to be mutar. Okay? We point out the Mishnah Berurah is interesting. The candles for Yahrzeit don't have any Kedusha whatsoever. So you're allowed to use them for whatever you need. Ted Vav. Right? It's done the Kavod, but it's not Davar Shebikdusha or Mitzvah. B'nei Krach Shekanu, Ted Vav. B'nei Krach Shekanu Sefer Torah V'hitnu. Sh'im Yetzei Echad Me'akrach Me'ashan Yish'arim Yitnu Lo Chelko V'hukru Hasefarim. All right, so let's say people donated together for a shul, right? The Sefer Torah essentially was donated to belong to the shul, but everybody chipped in, and everyone said, you know what? I'm only donating the money as long as I live here. Once I switch shuls or move out, I get my money back. So the halacha is, since that was the deal, you do get all your money back. Question is, what happens when the Sefer Torah goes up in value? Everything goes up in value, especially since Corona times. The Sefer Torah, they tremendously went up in value. So How much money do you have to give back? You only have to give back the exact amount that he donated. Just because it goes up in value, you don't give him any extra, unless that was stipulated in the original condition, right? That's obvious. Anytime you make a beferu stipulation, you can't back out. So if you made that stipulation, then if it goes up, then you get it. Otherwise, you don't. Okay. What if it goes down? So then that's a question mark. And generally we say the lacha is lakula for the sake of, well, motzi mechaver ala varaya. Because there is a discussion in the poskim. So I believe the halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says you follow, in this case, the Beit Knesset wins and you have to give him the lesser amount. So if it goes down in value, he actually loses. Okay. One other little thing from the Mishnah Berurah. If a person finds something in the Beit Knesset, so he gets it. Because we don't know, right? There's a halacha that if a person owns his own field, a chatzer could, this is related to Beit Knesset. If it's a private chatzer, we say the chatzer has a yad, it has a hand, and a private chatzer can be koneh something just by being there. But Beit Knesset has no, or hektish has no hand, so if something is hefker in the Beit Knesset, it stays hefker until anyone gets to pick it up for himself. Okay. Kuf nun hey. Lilech mi Beit Knesset le Beit HaMidrash. Achar shiatza mi Beit Knesset. Yilech le Beit HaMidrash. Once you leave one, from davening, you should go to the Beit HaMidrash. Famous Gemara, it's in the Mishnah Berurah. Hayotze, when a person leaves and he goes from Shul to a Beit Midrash and Osek B'Torah, Zochel Mekabel Penei HaShchina. Sounds great. Shinamar Yelchu Mechayel El Chayel Yireh El Elohim Bet Sion. So you should always go from one strength to another strength. Obviously, you can learn in the same place, but it was the derech usually to go from one to another. V'yikba Eit Lilmud. And one has to be Koveya Itim to learn right after davening. V'tzarich She'oto Eit Yekavua Shelo Ya'avirenu Af Yimhu Savur Leharviach Harbeh. And a person has to make sure it's kavua and he doesn't miss it up. He doesn't miss the time, even if he thinks he's going to make a lot of money by going to work at that time. Perhaps you could be mashlim, that's a question. But it's very important to be koveya both time and both something goal-oriented to learn. Just a couple quotes from the Mishnah Berurah on this, very important. It's famous chazal that when a person goes up to Shemayim, they're going to ask him, Sholim ato kavata itim latorah. It's extremely important. And it's important to get it done in the beginning. One reason is because if you don't learn right away in the morning, then you might get caught up and too busy later on. Also, it's very good to start your day on the right foot. Right? Have your day start out in a very strong, positive energy. And hopefully that'll get you going on the right mood, on the right path. Mishnah Berurah points out, again, nothing new, but people will listen more if you hear from the Mishnah Berurah, that a person has to learn every day Tanakh, Mishnah, Gemara, and Poskim. And he says it's not okay just to learn Gemara. He says you're not even Yotze. Because the Mishnah Berurah, it's clear when you read the Mishnah Berurah, how he holds the halacha is the ikar. And it's more important to learn halacha than it is to learn Gemara. Obviously, if you have numerous hours, how to be mechalek your day is a separate discussion. But if a chunk of your day must be to learn halacha, which is the ikar, and then afterwards, if you have extra time, then you learn other stuff. As he writes, ikar limudo yeba halachot shiyeda eich litnaheg lemaase. You have to know, and then he quotes two famous Gemaras, that you're an Ohev Hashem if you're learning Halacha, and Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba if you learn Halacha every day. Okay? Right? A person has to, he writes, as he says, even if you're going to lose money, a person has to be Ma'amin, has to believe that Hashem is going to give him whatever he's going to give him. So he shouldn't be running after every deal that he can, just if it's going to cost him from learning Torah. Okay. And he points out in the Bir Halacha how it's extremely important and wonderful, even if you learn by yourself. However, it's even much greater if you learn b'chabura, b'rovam hadrat melech. If you learn by yourself, it's not written up in Sefer HaZichronot like it is if you're learning b'chabura. Even 10, the Shechina comes to you first, it's even greater. And you learn Torah better b'chabura. You can share more ideas and questions to each other when you have a chabura. Okay, very important. He says, and there is a minhag to always learn Torah right after davening. It's been an old minhag in Klal Yisrael, and to say Kaddish Derabanan. So he points out Kaddish Derabanan. You say when? When you learn not psukim, but it's when you learn halacha or agadata, a Torah shebal peh. That's when you have. That's when you say this Kaddish Derabanan at the end of davening. After learning, the poskim say it's if you're in a hurry, so at least learn one pasuk, one halacha, something before you leave shul. We also know there's a minimum to learn at least something in the morning and something at night. Okay, let's continue in the Ramah. V'af mi she'eni yodea lilmud yelech lebeit hamidrash v'sachar halicha biyado. Even if you don't know how to learn, just going to the Bet Midrash, or also just to sit inside and to be inside the Bet Midrash, the poskim say. Also, it's much better to be there than to just sit around at home wasting your time. Oh, Yikaba, right? Some say you should leave out the word oh. It doesn't really help. It's more Ve Yikaba lo makom, and you have to make yourself a makom kavua in the Bet Midrash, in the Bet HaMidrash. Ve Yomad Me'at B'mashi Adeya, from whatever you're able to handle, whatever you're able to learn. On your level. You should think about your things. Mishnah Berurah says it refers to business, that you're doing it correctly and not with Isurim. And you should have Yirat Shemayim. It could also be referring to behavior. Musar. Okay. Bet. Kodem sheyelech lebet hamidrash yuchal leechol pat shacharit im hura gilbo v'tov shiyar gilbo. Before you go to the bet midrash, you should eat something a little bit, get it in your stomach. It's healthy, it's good for you, and it's important that we stay healthy. Okay. Kuf nun vav seder masa umatan. Okay. Aleph. Achar kach yelech la'asakav. After you learn, then go to work. Because any Torah that doesn't have work with it, you're not working for a living, then in the end, even your Torah gets betela, and it causes you to sin when you have free time. Or also, oni itself, poverty, also makes a person, causes problems in life, causes emuna problems, causes problems in the home. Okay. Mishnah Berurah points out, though, obviously, a person should always follow the middle path in life, not to be too stingy or too frugal. And a person, in general, everything, it's Chazal, we know, from many different places, we should always pick the middle road. It's not only the Rambam who says that. And there are two areas that you should be extreme when it comes to Gaiva and Kaas. You should stay far, far away. And by being an anav, you should be an extreme when it comes to being an anav. Those are the famous exceptions. Mishnah Berurah says one should also just, the main focus on work is to have enough that you can pay all your bills, you can live, and you don't have to worry so much. But focus on what you need to live, so because otherwise you'll be chasing money all day and you won't have time to learn as much as you can. Okay. Let's continue. Umikol makom lo yaseh melachto ikar ela arai. Your work is not the ikar, it's the temporary. The torato keva, and the your kvios in life has to be tara. Now, it's more of a mindset, but if possible, obviously, it's also by your hours, if that's possible. Vezeh vezeit kayam biyado. And if Torah is your main focus in life, then and you're able to do both, so then both will be successful. All right, obviously, the Bir Halacha points out the famous Machlokas in the Gemara, how to, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but he, generally, this is said for everyone, for the masses, that everyone needs to have, needs to work for part of the day. But for Yechidim, it's another, it's a, Yechidim, he says, should be Oseik B'Torah all the time, and Hashem will provide. And there's a, also he points out a famous Midrash in Mishle, just one last thing on Talmud Torah, that when you get up to Shemayim, Hashem is going to ask us, the Beis Din is going to ask us, did we learn everything? It's not enough just to learn Gemara. It's not enough just to learn Chumash. They're going to ask, "No, did you learn Halacha? Did you learn Torah Kohanim? Did you learn Agarata?" They're going to ask about everything. So a person has to make sure he divides up his time. Okay. Ve'yisavi tein be'amuna. And we have to do business honestly. Ve'yizeher milahazkir shem shamayim levatala. We can't mention God's name in vain. Shebachol makom she'azkarat Hashem metsuya mita metsuya. Is that causes death in the world. V'yizeher mili shava, afilu be'emet. You should stay away from swearing. Even swearing, even when it's truthful, has problems. She'elef ayarot ayu le'yanaya melech. He had 1,000 cities. V'chulam nechravu b'shvil shehayu nishpa'im shvuot. Alfa pi shehayu mekaimim otam. Even though they kept their promises, it's frowned upon. V'yizeher m'lishtatef im akum. You should try and avoid making being partners with non-Jews. Of the Avodah Zarah. Shema yitchayev lo shvua. Because you might end up causing them to make a shvua. And if you make them make a shvua, they'll be the oh, and if they do it on their God's name, the over mishum lo yishama al picha. And then they'll be over. So if it's a clear Avodah Zarah, if it's Avodah Zarah we're talking about, and they swear on Avodah Zarah, so then you cause that to happen. So you should stay away. Avoid being causing that to happen. Haga, v'yesh, Ramah continues, v'yesh mekilin v'asiyat shetafut im ha'akum b'zman hazeh. So with Christians, we're not going to have a shir on Christianity or Protestantism and different Catholics, but there are some differences, or at least some want to be mechalik. And he writes, we are mekel, mishum she'en ha'akum bezman hazeh nishba'im ba'avodat elilim, because they don't swear on their God's names. Ve'af agav demazkirin avodah zarah, and I don't know if he means even though they do or when they do sometimes, mikol makom kavanatam la'oseh shamayim ve'aretz. So when they, even when they use their names, or the names of their avodah zarah, or the Christians, then they really have in mind on the same God that we do. But they're including somebody else. And so again, it's a question, it's rooted in the Rishonim, but it's a question how to understand the Ramah. I believe the Ramah felt that Christianity was not Avodah Zarah. It's a Shituf, they say. But some say, no, he also held those Avodah Zarah. But we don't have to worry about the shituf of something else, of a person, when it comes to a shvua. So it's, again, whole discussion. V'lo matzinu sheish b'zeh mishum v'lifni iver, lo titein michshol, deheri einam muzharim ala shituf. All right. V'laseit v'lateitem hem v'lo shitufut, but to do business with them, v'kuli al mashari, of course you could do business with a non-Jew or a goy, Avodah Zarah, below Yom Chagayim, as long as it's not on their day of their holiday when they're going to attribute all of their success to their gods. So then that's a separate issue. Okay, that's a Yoredeya issue. Kuf Nun Zayin, Dinei Zman Kiviyut Se'uda. Kishyagi Ashar Vi'id Yikuba Sirato. You should have a meal in the fourth hour. Right, usually means the beginning. What? Aruchat Eser. Excellent. V'im hu talmid chacham v'yosek b'limudo. If you're talmid chacham and you're steiging away in the Beit Midrash, yamtin at sha'ah shishit. You should wait to the beginning of the sixth hour. V'lo ya'acher yoter. And not more. Mishnah Berurah says, and certainly not beyond the end of the sixth hour. Dehave kezorik evin l'chemet. It's like throwing a stone into a chemet, or a barrel of wine when there is where it doesn't really add anything anymore. When it's The Mishnah Berurah explains, if you have a barrel of wine, you don't want to have air in there. So you want to fill it up with wine to the very, very top. And if you don't have enough wine, so you add a stone in there so that it'll push out all the air. So that helps if you do it in the right time, in the beginning. But if you already let the wine mature and you had air in there, to do that at the end, at the last day, is not going to help. So to hear that you have to eat earlier, early enough that you don't get too tired or sick, or it's not good for your metabolism, whatever it is, because just eating later on, if you were fasting all day and you couldn't function, it didn't help that you ate at the end of the day. You needed to eat at the beginning. Im lo ta'am midi bitzafra. That's if you don't eat anything in the morning. Let's just start a little bit. And dinei netilat yadayim l'seuda. Let's do Aleph. Kashiavol echol pat shemavarchin alav amotzi yitol yadav. There's a takana derabanan that when a person eats bread, that you say hamotzi on it, you have to wash your hands. Ve'afilu eni yodeilem shum tuma. Even if your hands don't have any tuma whatsoever, and because of the takana, even if your hands are clean, v'yivarech al netilat yadayim. We say the bracha asher kedishanu al netilat yadayim. Aval pat shemavarchin alav amotzi. But they didn't make the gezera on bread that you don't say hamotzi. Kegon lachmaniot dakot. Like thin wafers, pretzels, or dak haba or pat haba bekisnin, or any bread that has that we call cake. That's different definitions of cake. We'll get to perush pat asuyim sukaro shagro shkedim nuts vegozim ve'eno kaveyas retalim. It's not normal to make a suda on them. Ein sarich netilat yadayim. Then you don't have to make netilat yadayim on these items. And the takana again, real just brief. We'll get to the cup later. But the etzem takana of washing, so two or three main reasons. One is they call serech truma. That's because of the truma of the kohanim. The rabbis wanted to make sure the kohanim washed their hands, because otherwise sometimes they would eat truma and their hands would be dirty. And then, or tame, that's actually a machloket rishonim. Is it because of dirtiness or is it because of real tuma? But the kohanim would end up touching their bread and ruining it. So we wanted to make sure that they made a takana for kohanim to wash their hands anytime they eat any bread. And in order for this takana to really take hold in Klal Yisrael among the kohanim, they said, you know what, we got to make all the Jews do this as well. So even all of us Yisraelim, then now we also have to wash our hands all the time. The Gemara gives another couple of reasons. They say mishum nekiyut and mishum kedusha. And they did an asmachta, vihit kadishtem vitem kedoshim. That we want to make sure our hands are clean, even normal. It's menschlichkeit, we wash our hands, we don't want to ruin our own bread. And a level of kedusha, when we eat, there's certain rules, we'll get to a little bit, about eating. We don't eat like a behema, and we try and say divrei Torah. At our table, we invite people, or we use our food, or domel mizbeach, our table is domel mizbeach, we also give tzedakah. Or share our food with people who need. It's good, in particular, to invite people who can't afford. So this way, you invite them so they have what to eat, or they don't have who to be with. So you make their day when they have where to go and where to be. So the table is a place of kedusha as well. All right, we'll